We finished up our series last week in the book of Ephesians. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about thanksgiving, giving thanks. And this morning, we're going to talk about giving thanks in the midst of trouble. Trouble seems to surround us in life. I've had several come and talk to me about things that are going on in the world, things that we see happening. It's out there. It surrounds us. Whether it's like the video we watched that we laugh at a little bit at the beginning, where a sickness causes us to miss out on Thanksgiving, realizing that we can be thankful in the midst of those times, or if it's something like a church shooting that happens, and being able to find thanksgiving in the midst of something so horrible that happened, something so terrible that we don't understand and we don't know why such a thing would happen. And we ask the questions, what caused this? Well, the root of it is sin. I know that doesn't give us the whole answer. It doesn't give us the mindset of why something like that would happen. But sin is what caused this. And we live in a world that is sinful. And we have to find thanksgiving in the midst of times that don't seem like they would have thanks in them. It's nice to be thanked for things. It's nice for people to say thank you. Last month was Pastor Appreciation Month, and I received lots of cards. And it took me a while to go through all of them and read the things that you're thankful for about me and my family. I appreciate those. I keep those so that I can, maybe if I'm having a bad day, I can look back and go, oh, they appreciate me. They love me. It's good. I received a couple of cards this week. People that were thanking us. One was from the Melzers. You remember them a couple weeks ago. They came, missionaries, and we've supported them. And they wanted to say thank you. Thank you for having us there, for supporting us, for praying with us. I received another card, and it was kind of weird. I looked at it, and I went, this is kind of weird, but it's a handwritten note from a store that's thanking me for my business. Christian store over in Fort Wayne. They just, thank you. Thank you for shopping here. We appreciate you. If you ever need anything, let us know. That's kind of weird. Assistant manager wrote that. I was like, wow, they appreciate my business. Handwritten. I don't shop there that much, honestly. But they, being thanked, it makes you feel good. It makes you say, wow, I appreciate that you appreciate me. But sometimes it's hard to do that, to give thanks in certain circumstances. The passage which we're going to look at, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23, is Paul's instructions for communion, but it's going to remind us of Jesus' thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" It's a reminder of the Gospel of Luke, the Gospels where Jesus did these things in Luke chapter 22, and it's on the screen there. In Luke chapter 22, Luke records that Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks. Why did Jesus give thanks? The cup was the representation of his blood being spilled out. He knew what he was looking ahead towards. Later that evening, he would be in the garden praying. The Bible tells us that he was so distressed, his sweat became like drops of blood because of what was going to happen. He took the bread, and when he had given thanks, the bread was for his body that was about to be broken, and yet He gave thanks. Everything that the bread and cup reminds us of, his blood poured out and his body torn and being hung on a cross, is what Jesus is giving thanks for. Despite the impending suffering, despite the fact that he was going to be separated from God, despite what he was going to face, he gave thanks. When I started reading and looking into this, I began to look and see where else did Jesus give thanks. John chapter 6, the Bible tells us that there's this massive crowd that's following him around because he's been healing and performing miracles and teaching. And so there's a crowd that's flocking around him. And in John 6:11, they realize they're all hungry. And Jesus tests the disciples and he says, well, you guys should go get them some food. And the disciples are like, Jesus, we don't have enough wages to pay for food. There's like 5,000 people here. We can't pay for food for 5,000 people. We don't even have part-time jobs, God. Come on. Like, I'm sure, like, they're trying. Judas was the one that kept charge of the coins, and I'm sure he was like, well, we might have enough food, money for us, but that's going to be about it. They didn't even have any food, and so they kind of start asking around, and they find a boy with a few small loaves and a couple of fish. And I'm sure the boy was like, well, this is my lunch. I thought ahead. My mom packed me a lunch. But he was generous enough to say, well, I guess I'll share. John 6, verse 11 says, Jesus then took the loaves when he had given thanks. He distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And Jesus performed a miracle there. In Matthew chapter 15 is another instance of Jesus feeding a multitude of people. The same thing. He gives thanks. And then the food is distributed and they collect basketfuls. What did they do with that? Did everybody get home, take home a doggy bag? I don't know. But they had basketfuls of food afterwards out of these small amounts. But first, Jesus gave thanks. Later in John's gospel, John chapter 11, we hear of another circumstance in Jesus' life. Some dear friends are grieving. Lazarus has died. He's been in the tomb for days at this point. Jesus knows what's going to happen because he took his time getting there. Purposefully. Jesus comes to the tomb. They're all still grieving. He comes to the tomb and he tells them to take away the stone. And in the scripture, it basically says, yeah, but he's going to stink. You don't take the stone away because he's been dead in there for, it's going to start smelling and we don't want that. But they listened. They took the stone away, John 11:41, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Father, I thank you. And beyond that, he says, not just for my glory, but for your glory, so that you would be honored. But Jesus gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks to God in circumstances that weren't always easy. He gave thanks to God when they didn't have food. He gave thanks to God when he had a friend that had been dead for 3 days. In that passage, the Bible tells us that Jesus wept. It's a recording of Jesus' emotions there, that Jesus wept. He feels the things that we feel. He was tempted as we are tempted, but Jesus gave thanks. In our main passage this morning in 1 Corinthians, reminder that Jesus gives thanks even before the hardship hits. When he knows the hardship is coming, when he knows what's next, he still gives thanks. Thanksgiving preceded the miracle. Thanksgiving preceded the cross. Do you find yourself maybe in difficult times? Maybe you're about to go through something. And you don't know, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how financially we're going to make it through this. God, I don't know how we're going to get through this sickness or this illness. God, I don't know how we're going to make it with my job that's just driving me nuts and I can't quit because we need the money. God, I don't know how we're going to get through this. Well, did you think about giving God thanks first? Giving God thanksgiving for what he has done. Jesus found himself facing excruciating pain, separation from God and death, but Jesus gives thanks. Why? That was a question I started asking myself. Why? Why? If I was in this situation, if I knew my death was going to be soon, would I be giving God thanks? If I knew the type of death that I was going to face and it was going to be excruciating pain, would I say, okay, thank you, God? Hebrews 12 gives us a little bit of insight into Jesus' mindset. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did Jesus give thanks? Because he could see the joy of the other side. He could see the joy of the fellowship of Christians that he would cause to be able to have a relationship with God. He saw the other side. Jesus gave thanks despite the circumstances. He gave thanks because he knew God's plan and he knew that God was good. Psalm 107. Psalms 107 says this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. The psalmist reminds us, some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. The psalmist looked back, and even as you read through the rest of Psalm 107, the psalmist looked back and could see the good things that God has done, the mighty deeds that God performed with his people, the nation of Israel, to bring them out of slavery, out of bondage. Even wandering through the desert for 40 years. Maybe your 40 years is right now. You feel like you're wandering through the desert. Could they still give thanks during that time of wandering? Yes, the people of God could do that. And the psalmist looked back and said, we give thanks because God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Think about your past. I look at my past and I realize God has been good to me. God has done things in my life that I had no strength or power to do on my own. God is good. And so I look at his past goodness and what I'm going through now. If I'm going through a struggle, I say, God has been good in the past. So despite what I'm facing right now, I know that God is good, and I can think about the joy that's set before me, that this isn't the end. Life doesn't end at death here, and so even when we pray for those who are struggling with diseases right now, we have hope, because we know there is more after this life. We know we will be with Him in glory, the Bible tells us. We have joy before us, despite what we may be facing now. Before we go into our time of communion, I'd like to offer an opportunity, if anyone would like to give thanks this morning. You have something you're thankful for. Jack read of our kids' thankfulness this morning. Ellie's thankful for her stuffed animals. Kids are thankful for their parents, thankful for their pets, thankful for food, thankful for homes that they have. What are you thankful for today? Is there anything you'd like to share with us this morning? Thankful that God is patient. Very true. Where would we be without God's patience?
I'm thankful for 124 students that I have an opportunity to lives to affect every day.
Mm-hmm. Other things you're thankful for?
Not just the building, just the people in the church.
Yeah. Thankful for the body, thankful for the church, thankful for the ones in the church. Because the church isn't the building. We come and meet in this building, but the church is us. Yeah. Other things you're thankful for? Kids and grandkids. Very thankful. Yeah. Christian friends. A lot of us, I think about that with my family. Where would I have ended up if I didn't, and you know, if I wasn't raised by a Christian mom and dad? Yeah, Christian heritage. Other things. The power of prayer. Amen. The power of prayer. The country we live in, the freedoms that we enjoy here. Anything else you're thankful for?
I'd like to thank you for the church and your family and the family and everything, warm people. The differences I can see in 96.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
I want to thank you for the every friend and family and my family and friend in the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I look at Dawn with her granddaughter there, and I'm thankful that we live in a country where Dawn can come to church and have a granddaughter there and feel safe and just know that, you know, what a blessing that is. Just to have her granddaughter be free and have just to be able to do that. That's quite a blessing.
I'm thankful for a church that allows my daughter to dance in the middle of the aisle.
I'm thankful for a dry place to sleep last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. We take a lot of things for granted because we have them, but there are many who don't. Anything else? Give you another opportunity. Yeah. Wow.
Just be thankful.
Yeah. Thankful to be able to come together.
And I'm going to make about them.
Yeah. That's a good thing to do. Write down the things you're thankful for. A lot of the things that have been mentioned, I see a lot of heads nodding. Because all of us, there are things that we can be thankful for as well. One last opportunity. Anybody else want to say something you're thankful for? Yeah. Yep. Good. Don't want to cut anybody off. Yeah. Good. Give thanks. We can give thanks now. We can give thanks in difficult circumstances as well.